is go.
Agapus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night edition of the show, 10th of August already, and Diane, I have but one question for you tonight.
And that question is?
Have you hugged your Cuomo today?
I'd love to tell you what I'd like to do to Cuomo.
I'm guessing a flying bitch slap would be included.
A flying one, but I got something better.
Oh, yeah?
How about take all the relatives of the 15,800-plus people's death he's responsible for, gather them all around, and put him right in the middle?
Well, you get a pretty good idea what Custer felt like.
Yes. Yeah. That would be the best thing as far as I'm concerned.
Well, folks, as you can probably guess, we are going to devote the entire first segment to the news that broke earlier this afternoon that Governor Cuomo in New York has offered up his resignation. Now, before we get into that, though, I want to tell folks what's coming up on the show. Diane, you've got a very interesting op-ed tonight, Manipulating Normalcy.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm guessing
we get back to normal, folks.
I'm guessing that has something to do with COVID.
Doesn't everything today just about have to do with COVID, unfortunately?
Yeah, that's true. I'm touching on COVID myself a little bit later in the show. Crazy Train to COVIDville.
Perfect title for it.
It is. So that's what we got coming up on the show. But the big news earlier this afternoon, as I said, was that Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York offered up his resignation today. And yes. The guy's got some baggage.
It's not just baggage, and it's not just that he offered it up. I think he made a deal, or a deal was offered to him.
Well, when you're done rearranging things on your desk, tell us what you think that deal might be. Because, folks, she told me
some stuff fell off that could make a little noise later.
Oh, well, we don't want that. Diane told me earlier what her theory on this is, and I think there could be. I think it could hold some water. Tell folks what you told me earlier.
Yeah, I think what happened was Cuomo was given an option. You resign, you save face, quote unquote, and we will not impeach you. We'll drop the impeachment, and we'll also sort of make the nursing home scandal go away. Maybe you'll be charged, you know, with little minor things, but we'll make it really go away. You can resign. You'll look like a hero, which he's looking like anything but. But they did not want to go through the aggravation of impeaching him over a sex scandal. There is more important things that he needed to be impeached over, which is the nursing home scandal.
Now, I tend to agree. I tend to agree up to a point. And like I said, I think that could hold water. Okay? Mm-hmm. I think that theory could hold water. But I think there are some other things involved, too. All right?
Okay.
If he would have been impeached, he would not have gotten his pension. And you know, as well as I do, Andrew mm-hmm. Cuomo's all about the money. Mm-hmm. Okay? So there's that issue that I think's involved in it. If he was impeached, he would also not be able to run for office again. And while I don't think he will, that door is still open just a crack. And here's the other thing I think plays into it. They were going to impeach him. And that mm-hmm. impeachment would have been successful. And they had it come down to that, they literally would have impeached him for things they accused Trump of doing that Trump never did.
Yeah, there's a double-edged sword here, folks, because the things that Cuomo has been accused, and now by his resignation, he basically admits to it, are the exact same thing Joe Biden has done for years and has gotten away with it. We're really, there's no difference. There's videos of Biden touchy-feely. There's photographs of touchy-feel. There were charges brought against Biden. I don't remember the woman's name when he was running that were sort of made to right. go away. You know, we think he'd be impeached. But you know what? The swamp runs deep. The power in the swamp runs deep. And there were certain voices that never got involved, like Obama, Pelosi.
At least that we never heard.
That we never heard. We would have heard one way or another. Somebody would have leaked something. I'd say his chances of getting impeached would have been about 95%, but I'm not going to say it's 100%. New York politics is dirty.
Well, sure.
And there's too much to cover with the nursing home scandal. Remember, it's probably based on the data that he wasn't turning over and the falsifying of numbers, but there's more to it than that. Because if you remember, in the beginning, he might have just been stupid and not known, you know, oh my God, I'm sending these sick people back in to the homes. But when he was told what was happening, he continued to do it.
Right.
Knowing it was happening. So there's a line there that was crossed. Here it is. Experts are telling you not to do something and you're doing it. So you've got to take that into consideration also. And while I'm glad he's out of office, just like everybody else is, it's a point that Craig and I, it's not that we disagree on it, but we have a little bit of a difference of opinion on it. I would have rather seen him impeached over the nursing home scandal than a sex scandal.
Well, now, I don't disagree with that at all. In fact, I would rather he would have been impeached and jailed over the nursing home scandal rather than the groping scandal. But, you know, I tend to look at things maybe a little bit differently in that the nursing home scandal, and there's a lot of moving parts in that thing.
Sure.
He will never be criminally charged in that. Now, he probably will wind up being charged in civil court by some of the families of those who died, okay? But that won't be a murder charge. Those will be wrongful death charges, okay? So it's not, he's never going to go down for murder, even though there's 15,800 people that died needlessly. He'll never go down for murder. Those investigations are still up and running, but the civil end of it is, you know, he's going to wind up having to pay out on the civil end of that thing. But my idea was get him out any way you can, before he has a chance to kill more people with some other stupid-ass policy, all right, which they have succeeded in doing.
And I don't disagree with that. You know, he needed to go. But being resigning over a sex scandal in itself is kind of sleazy and tabloid.
Well, it
resigning is, but because you were negligent homicide, if you will, over the deaths of 15,000 plus people, I think in the scope of history would carry a lot more weight.
Right, but he's not going to admit to that. They're going to have to force that in court under civil charges. You know, there's no way he was going to admit, well, I'm leaving because I botched that thing or I did something wrong in that thing. You know, the nursing home deal. He's too arrogant for that. This he'll resign over. And let's face it, he is the third Democrat governor in a row, the third governor in a row in New York that has had to resign amid scandal.
Yeah, but it's been a century since others have resigned.
No.
It was a different time, different place, whatever.
No.
I don't care about that in regards to Cuomo.
No, that's not right. That's not right. Elliot Spitzer, he had to resign in 2008. Okay, the guy that took over for him was Lieutenant Governor David Patterson, and he had to resign in 2010. Both of them
resign, not impeached.
That's what I said from the beginning. That Cuomo now becomes the third governor in a row, all Democrats in New York that have had to resign amid scandal.
Okay, I thought you said no. Impeached, not resigned.
No. And so, I mean, he's just following suit. He's just doing what Democrats do in New York when they get elected to be the governor. That's all.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, what he did to the women was wrong. No one is saying it was right. Okay. We all thought we were way past sexual harassment in the workplace. We weren't, and we're not. It's going to continue on. This is not going to stop these kind of things from happening.
Oh.
The problem is, when this happens to a woman, they need to report it to the authorities immediately. Now, most of the 11 women did. There were some that didn't. They jumped on the train later on. For the sake of credibility, and to not allow these things to go on like this has gone on, you need to go public. You need to go to the authorities immediately. This would not have dragged on like it did if this was taken care of the first time. This is the problem with these sexual allegations. And to me, I know Craig disagrees with me on this, except for the one whose blouse he put his hand under and grabbed her. The others don't reach that level. Most of it is they felt uncomfortable because of the way he was talking and this and that. But you got to remember, if you're going to play in the political field, you got to expect a certain amount of boys will be boys. It's just the way politics is. You can try as much as you want to change it. And a lot of it has changed. But it's never going to change completely.
Well, no, it won't. And I don't disagree with you. I you know, everything that he did rises all the way up to the level of a misdemeanor.
Right.
And there's no felonies that are involved there.
Not but at he all. Did there break was no rape. No one accused him of rape.
Right.
If he had been accused of rape, You're talking a whole different ballgame here.
I understand. That's what I was just going to say. You know, nothing rose to the level of a felony. He broke state and federal laws, but they're misdemeanors. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, he broke laws. Now, the resignation that he announced today, right, doesn't mm-hmm. take effect for 2 more weeks. In two right. weeks, he will march his gropey little ass out of Albany, and that will be the end of his governorship. Now, I have a theory as to why it's going to take 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, that's common sense theory, really.
Well, it is, but I don't think a lot of people are looking at it maybe quite the way I am. You know, I mean, 2 weeks, got 14 days, right? I figure it's mm-hmm. going to take that amount of time to sweep a bunch of stuff under the carpet. Plus, he's got to find a way to bleach bit all the porn off the computer in the governor's office, and he's got to get his laptop back from the repair shop so he doesn't pull a Hunter Biden.
Okay. I don't think Cuomo was stupid enough to do porn.
Are you sure?
Albany computers. I really don't think he was that stupid.
I mean, we're talking about the guy here who blamed his groping on the fact that he's Italian. So I'm not putting anything past him.
Yeah, well, he, you know, his father, who was a third term governor of New York, he was more in line of being a Kennedy Democrat. He has brought total disgrace to the family name, along with his brother, Chris, you know, the CNN sleazeball reporter. Oh. They have done more to damage their father's legacy than probably anyone in New York has done in many a year. Cuomo will never run for office again. I can guarantee you that. He's done.
Yeah, I hope so.
He's also facing a possible, there is one possible criminal charge being leveled against him. Has it gone through yet? No.
No.
But it's under investigation. Again, it's not rape. And, you know, look at it. You got to look at it this way, okay? Craig, you and I are involved in politics. I'm a member of BRAC. I go to political meetings. I speak at political meetings. I grew up, my dad was in politics. Men are going to come over and greet women. They're going to kiss them. They're going to hug them. That's just the way it is. If you cannot take that, I'm not talking about crossing a line and grabbing something. I'm talking about hugging and kissing and maybe rubbing a woman's back, telling them they look nice. If you can't take that, politics is not the arena for you.
Well, I fully agree.
And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on that.
You know, I mean, look. If politics is what politics is. Now, would it be nice if none of that ever took place, if there was never any kind of harassment or uncomfortable feelings? Sure, it would. But in a lot of cases, you never know what's going to make somebody feel uncomfortable. What one person might absolutely blow off as nothing, somebody else is going to pretend to be overly offended by. So there's no way to get all of that out of any situation, right?
Exactly. And you've got to understand. I mean, I've gone into meetings. The men have come over. They've kissed me. Hello, whatever. I don't think anything of it.
Well, okay? No, but when you're grabbing somebody's butt or you're putting your hand up their blouse or you're asking them to date you even though you're married at the time, you know, I mean.
That's a little bit different. But you also have to have an attitude of when someone comes on, and I've had many guys come on to me when I go to meetings and things, I just laugh at them and I go, really? Maybe I need to call your wife. You know, you can
that
make
usually
a joke of it. You can turn it around. It embarrasses them enough that they'll never do it again.
Yep, that usually puts an end to it right there. Maybe I should call your wife and see if it's okay with her. Yeah, that would usually put an end to it right there.
Exactly. And if you're going to be in the political arena, you've got to understand the workings of it. And some of these women, they were very young at the time. They were in their early 20s. Maybe they were a bit naive, but you also,
well, and let's face it.
You can't go to work in a tight sweater, almost cut down to your belly button either.
Well, let's face it. Some of these women were also threatened. I mean, if you blow the whistle, your career is over.
Yes.
And, and word gets around, when you threaten one, the word gets around. You know, some of these people are women are trying to make a career and, they're, like you said, they're young, they're early in their career, and they know if they step on a landmine at that point, they're done. Especially in a state like New York. So they hold back, they grin and bear it for a while. But eventually, this kind of stuff comes out, and it did in Cuomo's case. Now, I got to tell you, I took one for the team this afternoon. I watched an hour of CNN.
Ugh.
Well, I know CNN is as repulsive as Cuomo, but I wanted to see what they were saying over there. All right. And I got to tell you, it was amazing. It was really, truly amazing. Some of the people they had on, some of the talking heads, the guests, whatever, they were actually kind of trying to downplay it a little bit. And they were, this is such a shock. They were acting like they were at a funeral almost, mm-hmm. This is just a terrible, terrible thing. And, Cuomo did so much for the city of New York over the years, and to see a guy like Andrew Cuomo in his career go down in flames like this is awfully tough. And it was really kind of maudlin' at some level, but it was also kind of shocking because they were acting, and that's a key word here, acting like this was all news to them. Like, oh my God, he actually did these. Oh, my God. Now, come on. They knew very well what he'd been doing his whole career.
Well, I think the worse than the CNN ones, was Biden.
Oh.
Biden was whining over the loss of the governor's leadership, and he actually heralded Cuomo's record on policies and downplayed his personal conduct. But then what do you expect from the man whose conduct was probably even worse than Cuomo's, and he's now sitting in the White House?
Well, as far as we know, Cuomo never groped anybody that was underage, but we've got videos of Biden groping little girls,
and here
putting
it is,
his hands
he's
on.
Lamenting, Cuomo's gone, he was so good. I mean, guys, do you see the big picture here?
The hypocrisy.
Andrew Cuomo was a little cog in the big, wheel of the swamp. And the little cog, though, is now going to get away with what should have been somehow, some way, charges. And that's the nursing home scandal. I'm sorry. To me, I'm glad he's gone. He deserves to be gone. But I did not want a sex scandal bringing him down. A sex scandal that really wasn't a sex scandal. It was more harassment. I really wanted him impeached or forced to resign and admit in public I was responsible for 15,800 deaths.
That's never going to happen.
I know it's never going to happen, but I would have rather history had shown that.
Well,
New York governor impeached for, you know, a minor, it's really a minor sex scandal, because thankfully he did not rape anyone.
Right. I agree. But look who he learned his behavior from. Okay.
No,
Andrew Cuomo learned his behavior from Billy Boy Clinton. Remember, Andrew Cuomo.
True. People forget about Billy Boy, right?
Right. Andrew Cuomo was part of Bill Clinton's cabinet.
Yes. Okay. In case people don't know, Andrew Cuomo was married to a Kennedy.
Right. And being a Kennedy Democrat does not preclude you from groping people. Let's just.
No. This was not a JFK Kennedy he was married to.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, it was either Robert Kennedy's daughter or Teddy Kennedy's daughter. I'm not sure which one, but let's say neither of those men were saints either.
No. I mean, you know, Teddy drove a woman off the Chappaquiddick Bridge.
And got away with it and left her to drown. Yeah, I mean, he learned from the experts there, didn't he?
Well, and John Kennedy was married, arguably, to one of the most beautiful women in the world at the time, and it didn't stop him from having affairs.
No, it didn't. But he didn't murder 15,800 people.
No. And that's where you separate the wheat from the chaff. Okay.
Now, here's an interesting question somebody posed. Could Andrew Cuomo actually pardon himself before he leaves office?
It is possible. I mean, it is possible, but he won't. I really don't believe he will. The groping scandal isn't enough for him to bother with. And if he would pardon himself on the nursing home thing, that would be admitting that he actually did it, and he's too arrogant to admit that he did it.
Well, he basically admitted it today, but he covered for it. He said, "I didn't realize what I was doing crossed a line."
Bull crap.
Okay, it might be bull crap to you and I, but remember, you're dealing with a slimy, perverted character. They don't think like we think.
There is that.
Yeah. And I mean, he's as slimy as they come.
I didn't realize it crossed the line. Really? You didn't realize it crossed the line, and yet you tried to cover it up? You didn't realize it crossed the line, and you threatened a woman's career? You didn't realize? Oh, come on.
Of course he did.
And let's be honest here, you know, Chris Cuomo over at CNN played a big role in that, because Chris Cuomo was helping him try to cover that crap up. What's even worse, because you expect that from the Cuomo boys, right? But what's even worse is that an outfit tied to the Me Too movement was also helping trying to cover it up.
Yeah. So was the former communications aide to Pete Buttigieg's, or however you pronounce that guy's name, presidential campaign. What was her name?
I didn't know I was crossing the line.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, New York is so dirty. Oh, and then his big thing today was, "I resigned because I love my state, and now the business of government can go forward." Uh-huh. Well, guess what? You got a Democrat lieutenant governor who follows his policies that's going to take over. Do you think anything is going to change?
Well, actually, really? I do. I do. I don't think she's going to stick her hand up another woman's blouse.
No, I'm not talking about the sexual end. Yeah. Do you really think any policies in New York are going to change? No, they're not.
No, but, you know, she's only got until November of next year. She's only filling the remainder of his term, which is up in November of next year. I highly doubt that she'll get reelected. Now, Does that mean they're going to get on the straight and narrow and they're going to elect a conservative? Of course not. Of course not. Right. They'll find some other swamp critter and elect that person. But
well, here's an interesting comment that someone made. Cuomo was very probably compensated for doing his part in resigning. They had to allow the resignation because he knows too much. That's not for me, folks. This is somebody's comment on one of the threads. Yeah, Cuomo does know too much. There is always that people have to remember.
Yep.
There's a lot he can turn over about other people if things get too tough for him.
Absolutely. And he's got all that stuff cataloged. You know he does.
Yes.
Well, folks, we made it to the end of the segment, but we wanted to get that discussion in because it's an important cog in the wheel right now. It's a distraction from a lot of the other things that are going on and things that are honestly more important than Andrew Cuomo. But nonetheless, it's got its own place in everything that's going on right now. So we needed to get that discussion in. We got to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, Diane's talking about manipulating normalcy. And then about a half an hour from now, it's time to get on the crazy train to COVIDville. So stay with us, folks. There's more Right Side Patriots after this. You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, tomorrow morning, go to rspradio1.com, click on the podcast button, and there tonight's show will be. You can be one of the pod people, and welcome to that special designation. All right, Diane, so you and I have both kind of taken on COVID-19 from slightly different viewpoints for your op-ed, my commentary this week. You went at it from the standpoint of manipulating normalcy. Would you care to explain that?
Yes, I will. And let's start with the fact that George Orwell's 1984 nightmare has finally come to life. And it's courtesy of the nasty little gift from China, replete with all the variants that have come and will continue to come along with it. Seasonal variants, perhaps, but variants nevertheless. And while the medical community is heralding the fact that we now have a number of vaccines available to help in the fight against the China virus, otherwise known as COVID-19, one is left wondering why and how was said vaccine able to be developed so quickly and then forced upon us within a little more than a year's time? Simple answer, we are the guinea pigs for both the vaccine's effectiveness and its safety, guinea pigs who hopefully won't be like the proverbial lambs led to the slaughter. And some of us are also wondering why, if this was done so expeditiously for the China virus, why then don't we have a vaccine for major health woes like the common cold, HIV, and of course the worst ill of all, cancer? And while said vaccines supposedly have been worked on for decades, worked on with little to no real success, the truth is that to cure or even prevent such ills would not be advantageous to either the powers that be or to big farmers, all important bottom line profits. Simply, political skullduggery once again has won in the battle of right versus wrong. Political skullduggery that in the case of the China virus still equates to politically manipulated fear-mongering, helping to not only keep the masses in line under ultimate partisan-driven mind control based solely upon keeping us in a constant state of perpetual fear of what might or might not come next. How so? When the China virus first hit our shores in small numbers, President Trump ever so wisely recommended shutting down our borders to those wanting to come here from highly infected countries. And Trump did so not in an attempt to stack the political deck for the then upcoming November election, but to protect we Americans from the ravages the China virus was causing throughout the world. But instead of being heralded as a champion of we the people, the Democrats accused President Trump of harboring racism against non-white folks as they saw this, their newest incarnation of the race card, as a means by which to turn what was and still is a true health crisis into a viable political weapon of sorts. And not only did the Democrats have Dr. Anthony Fauci, the still head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and a man who remains the chief medical advisor to the president, on their side, but they had and still have the media as well. And it was the media who helped morph what was a public health crisis into a major economic crisis, an economic crisis that has resulted in massive job losses reaching levels not seen since the Great Depression, job losses which in turn wiped out the across-the-board jobs gained numbers that were courtesy of President Trump's economic policies. And Craig, even today, more than a year and a half after the China virus first appeared on our shores, it still has a negative effect on not only our still struggling economy, but on all aspects of our American way of life.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And while the economy has played a big role in it up to this point, that role of the economy in this whole, you know, COVID manufactured pandemic panic nonsense is far from over. And one of the things that is leading the charge on this, to me, seems to be an air of complacency on the part of a lot of people. But will that complacency continue to have an ill effect on the economic standing of individuals and this country?
Well, of course it will, but you need to understand that the freedoms that are involved, what this means is that these people have taken the constitutionally given freedoms that sadly some of us have taken for granted, freedoms that are now something that we can no longer afford to take for granted. And people wonder how so? First, as more and more folks now happily see government monetary assistance as being easy money in their pockets, money's easier gotten than if one actually had to work for a living, we find many small businesses that are trying hard to make a comeback seeing no one applying for the new jobs now being created. And with many large and small businesses now still requiring the wearing of masks and the practicing of social distancing, what some are actually doing is sending a subliminal message that they would prefer for their employees to remotely work from home instead of working on site. And with us now also seeing a distinction being made between what is essential and non-essential workers regarding what jobs should be created and or filled first, this adds to the mix of what is and will remain a dismal job situation, resulting in our economy basically being at a standstill. Second, Biden and crew are continuing on in their efforts to instill enough fear in us so as to make us want to keep wearing those useless pieces of cloth and paper, otherwise known as masks. Masks most, but not all of which, seems to be made in China, ground zero of this entire COVID mess. And while said masks are clearly marked, albeit at times in very small print, not for medical use, or words to that effect, both Biden and Fauci are so adamant in mask wearing that perhaps there's some monetary monkey business going on there, that our wearing of masks in public just instead enough, and now we need to wear them in our own homes as well, and wear them even if one has succumbed to the Democrats' push to be jabbed. Guess the powers that be will never admit that the jab isn't quite what they want us to believe it is, as in the end-all and be-all to COVID-19. Nor will they ever admit that mask wearing is a visible sign that one has succumbed to government control. And third, and most importantly, as I previously stated, we're still being forced to live in what amounts to be a cleverly and ever so maliciously crafted perpetual state of fear. But it's not just fear of the virus itself, which in time will either burn itself out or morph into a more harmless version of its former self, but fear that our government is no longer even trying to hide the fact that they have willingly and quite uncaringly allowed themselves to run amok. And Craig, it's these very Democrat powers that be that have allowed Dr. Fauci's constant flip-flops to directly steer the continuing COVID discourse as they themselves direct the locational spread of the virus, courtesy of Biden's allowing COVID-infected illegals into our country.
Well, and you can look back on the last, let's say, year and a half, year and 7 or 8 months now, and you can kind of see the evolution of all of this to a political goal. All right. Mm-hmm. I don't see it changing anytime soon. And I'll get, you know, I'll make another comment on that here in a little bit. But, you know, what is it about the three different segments of this that you just mentioned? What is it about those three segments that is driving this thing forward for as far down the road as we can see?
Okay. People need to understand that it's the sum of the three parts that I mentioned that affords both the media and the Democrat hierarchy the ways by which to manipulate, and even they know what is and always was a genetically engineered virus from China and turn it into a powerful political tool. And it's this very tool that allows them to not only control the race, gender, and social discourse in regards to everything COVID, but to have already successfully used said discourse to win, actually to steal an election, while at the same time working to fundamentally change our beloved America in the process, to fundamentally change all that we as Americans hold dear. And it's taking place here and now, right before our very eyes, as the Democrats care not a thing about either the immediate nor the long-term social, economic, and psychological effects this past year and a half has had on the majority of we the people. And it's sad, yet ever so truthful to say, that even the virus's after effects have now been bathed in racist rhetoric because we all hear from the media and Democrat politicians alike is how this particular pandemic has overly affected so-called vulnerable populations. But it's not vulnerable as in the elderly, the infirm, or those with pre-existing conditions, but vulnerable as in people of color, coupled with the forced down our throats rhetoric about systemic racial inequalities and how that has negatively affected the medical response to people of color during the pandemic. And this most assuredly is simply not true, except in the minds of those whose agenda is driven by partisan politics alone. So where does this leave us in regards to our longing to return to some semblance of normalcy? In my opinion, it leaves us with but one option, with said option requiring both common sense as the purveyor of truth, as well as us joining together in one united voice to declare that we, the people, have had enough of COVID-19. In fact, we've had enough of all the politically driven faux science, the mask wearing and social distancing, the lockdowns, the trying to force upon us jab mandates, and any and everything even remotely sent to us courtesy of ever-lying communist China. In fact, we've had enough of not only China itself, but the Biden administration kowtowering to them, making excuses for them, and then, Craig, covering up their actions, while at the same time trying to pin the entire COVID fiasco on President Donald J. Trump.
Well, you know, it seems to me that, President Trump had everything teed up for them. All the Democrats had to do was follow the protocols that Trump had teed up for him, and none of this crap would be happening today. Am I right about that?
Well, let's put it this way. If the Democrats had not blocked the closing of our borders when Trump suggested we should, we would not be in the situation we are in today. If, since day one, Dr. Fauci had not lied to President Trump about both the virus's origin and its true potential to do harm to our country and to the American people, we would not be in the situation we find ourselves in today. And if medical professionals and research scientists who did not spew the party rhetoric demanded of them had not been forced by Biden-aligned goons to rescind the truths they told, we would not be in the situation we are in today. And it's a situation that amounts to a third world dictatorial style approach to a problem, an approach that favors politics and vote garnering over science and the health, safety, and welfare of we, the American people. And how do I know this? Because the vaccines, even after millions of Americans have rolled up their sleeves to be jabbed, are still not fully FDA approved. And with there obviously being a reason for that, a reason not for public consumption, I really don't think I need to say anything more. Case closed.
Well, it's compelling. I mean, I don't see this coming to an end anytime soon. It's going to be one variant after the next. And then, you know, when the sky doesn't fall, like Chicken Little keeps telling us it's going to, then they're going to move on to something else. And eventually, we're all going to have to be wearing masks and getting jabbed to prevent getting the mad cow.
Right.
You know, I mean, they've got themselves a political tool here, and they're not going to let it go until it's completely exhausted. And I don't think they've gotten it exhausted yet. There will always be people, unfortunately, that will do whatever the government tells them to do.
Yes.
You know, yeah, and that,
absolutely.
You know, that's what we're seeing right now. This nation is built on individual freedoms, individual responsibility, self-reliance. You know, and when you start relying on the government says I can't go outside. The government says if I'm inside, I have to wear a mask. The government says I have to get a shot in the arm of some experimental drug. You know, and people just keep doing it. Well, this will stop when people say we've had enough.
Right. We're not doing it anymore.
You know, I mean, it's pretty simple. That's when it stops. It stops when we say it stops.
Exactly.
You know, and that's why we're seeing in red states it's stopping.
Still spouting his nonsense, and he's spouting it as truth. As long as organizations like Facebook won't allow the truth to get out, you know, they're fact checkers and everything.
Sure.
As long as the media is in cahoots with them, this isn't going to end.
No, no. I mean, they've got a political weapon, and they're just going to keep swinging it blindly, hoping they keep hitting something. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It ends when we say we're done with it. When we, the people, say we're done with it, and we will no longer do what the government tells us to do like a bunch of sheep, that's mm-hmm. when it's going to end. And in red states,
well,
you're already seeing
that. A lot of us are doing that.
That's why I just said.
Who refuse to be guinea pigs.
Yep.
You know, with the jab. A lot of us, thankfully, I live in a state where the masks are not mandated. Thank you, DeSantis. We are living our lives maskless, unjabbed, and we ain't getting sick, folks. In fact, today DeSantis called or is bringing some kind of suit against the government for misrepresenting the Florida numbers of the supposed new infections. It's not true, folks.
Yeah, I mean, they're conflating figures, and that's what you expect the government to do. They're gonna, like you say, they're gonna manipulate normalcy. That's the title of your op-ed, manipulating mm-hmm. normalcy. Well, they're also gonna manipulate the numbers to make people think it's what they want them to think. You know, I mean, there's nothing clean and above board about any of this. You know, folks, there's some great information in this op-ed, and there's some things that will really make you think in this op-ed. You know, this is a little bit different than a lot of the op-eds that Diane does that are full of facts and figures and numbers and things you can go. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those op-eds that really makes you stop and think. And I think that's a good thing. And you can get the link to this either by going to Diane's blog at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or you can go to rspradio1.com. Either way, get the link, share it with other people. It gives you something to think about, because as we continue down this rabbit hole into the swamp, you're going to see a lot of what Diane talked about here continue to replay itself over and over again.
Yeah.
You know? You got to look at this thing, not only as a big picture from what we've seen over the past year and a half or so, but look forward and see how what we've already been through is going to be projected into the future, because the Democrats, like Diane said in the op-ed, they don't want to let go of this. They don't.
No. COVID is their, they see COVID as their ticket to holding on to the House and gaining more in the Senate in 2022. But the only way they can do that is to keep the fear going. If we say we've had enough, we're no longer afraid, we're going about and living our lives, COVID just becomes a bad memory.
Well, and we're being lied to, and we know we're being lied to. I mean, the CDC and Fauci, they keep changing their tune every other hour on the hour. You know,
exactly.
what's good at 1 o'clock in the afternoon is terrible for you at 2 o'clock, but maybe not so bad for you at 3 o'clock, but by God, it's going to kill you at 4 o'clock. You know, I mean, this is what we're seeing. Wear the mask, don't wear the mask. Wear two masks. Wear masks indoors. Wear masks indoors and outdoors. Only wear masks when you're indoors. Okay, right. If you get the jab, you don't have to wear the mask. Now that you have the jab, well, you need to put the mask on again. Unless
you need two masks, not just one mask.
Unless you happen to be going to Barack Obama's birthday party, in which case no masks are required.
Exactly.
You know? And no the mask, reason.
But, you know, Obama's big soiree was, you know, that was okay. That's not a spreader, but Sturgis is.
Well, and Sturgis. Yeah, let me tell you, Sturgis just about 3.5 hours up the road, okay, mm-hmm. from where I happen to be planted right now. All right. Mm-hmm. Last night in Sturgis, Kid Rock was on the stage at the Buffalo Chip. Okay. That place was packed. The Buffalo Chip, it's an outdoor event arena. And that was packed. And I'll bet you anything, there was at least 10,000 people at the Buffalo Chip last night. Kid Rock put on, from what I heard from people that were up there, put on an incredible show last night. Tomorrow night at the Buffalo Chip at Sturgis, ZZ Top. And you can bet that's going to be packed. They're expecting over 700,000 people in Sturgis during the 10 days of this year's rally.
But if even one person comes down with COVID, Sturgis is a mass spreader.
Well, if somebody comes down.
All they need is one.
If somebody that was at Obama's party comes down with COVID, they're going to blame Sturgis.
Of course.
I mean, that's how it works. You know, Sturgis is god-awful. Obama's party, no. The open border, people coming across by hundreds of thousands, you know, and tens of thousands of them having COVID, that's not a problem. That's not an issue. We don't have to jab those people. We don't have to mask them up. You know, we don't have to keep them at home. Them, we can just put on airplanes and send them anywhere in the country. They're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Guys, this newest surge, people have to remember with this newest variant, this is all due to Biden letting COVID-infected individuals enter our country and then busing them all over the country.
Right.
Biden and his administration are the cause of the recent surge. It's that simple.
Well, and I'll tell you what, maybe I'm getting overly cynical, because I've had way more than enough of this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I'm wondering how many of these variants were also manufactured.
Oh, God. Another pop-up.
You know?
Sorry. What were you saying, Craig? I don't know where that came from.
I don't know. I didn't hear a thing. But anyway, I'm just saying, I'm starting to wonder, maybe I'm cynical, but I'm starting to wonder if some of these new variants have also been manufactured.
Of course they have.
You know, I mean, we're never going to run out of variants. And like I said, when they finally do, because nobody's going to believe the sky is falling anymore, then it's going to be something else. There's already, folks, an Ebola-like virus on the horizon.
Oh, yes.
It's not Ebola. Yes. It's not Ebola. It's Ebola-esque.
Like, yes.
Okay. That's out there on the horizon right now. And eventually, like I said earlier, it'll be the mad cow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's always going to be something. As long as they can gain traction, as long as they can, like Diane said, keep people living in fear of something, they don't care what, then we're going to be saddled with this crap.
Well, you also have to think of this way, this new variant that's around now. Okay, they're all saying it's more transmittable, more people are sick and whatever. If it's as bad as they say it is, how come less people are dying?
Well, there you go, trying to make sense of it all again.
I know, you can't make sense, right?
You're applying common sense to a liberally manufactured problem. Diane, you know that's never going to solve anything. Come on.
I know. I know. Absolutely.
What is wrong with you? Folks, you can get Diane's op-ed. You can get her op-ed, Manipulating Normalcy, at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Either place you go to get it, we hope you spread it around everywhere. Mm-hmm. Spread it like you're super spreading COVID.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Now, we're not making fun of COVID, guys. It is a real disease. People are sick and dying from it. But we're overreacting. If you want to say it that way, viruses have always been around. They're always going to be around, whether it's weaponized like this or whatever. Instead of concentrating on these vaccines, why doesn't the medical profession start working on an antidote?
Well, you know, right now it looks like the FDA may actually officially approve at least one of these vaccines before the end of this month.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to me because, again, that seems like it's being politically motivated.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just that simple. Folks, we've made it to the top of the hour. That means we got to take a break, get another couple station IDs in. When we come back, one segment to go tonight, and I'll be talking about crazy train to COVIDville. Mm-hmm. We've got more for you coming up on Right Side Patriots after this.
Hey guys, Diane Sori from the Patriot Factor on the patriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com, Tuesday night edition of the show. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Miss any part of the show, rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, podcast button, there it'll be. And, you know, look, if you want to go back and listen to other shows, there's a whole list of them there. Little descriptions there tells you what's on that show, and just have at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole idea there. All right, so, I said we were both taking on COVID, maybe from a slightly different perspective tonight, and that is the case. As I do from time to time, I try to lend absurdity to absurdity.
Okay.
We call it snark. And that's pretty much where I came out with this. The crazy train to COVIDville. You know, when it comes to scientific studies regarding the various COVID vaccines, we seem to be in pretty short supply. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, the CDC said we all had to start masking up again, and they based it on a study. The problem was the study upon which they based their remasking policy was denied peer review. But that wasn't the only problem with it. It also leaked out that the vaccine upon which that study was based is a vaccine not available in the United States, and the study was done in India. Therefore, here in the U.S., the CDC said we had to go back to wearing masks because of a bogus study in India that failed to include the vaccines we have over here. So, short are we on peer-reviewed scientific studies regarding the vaccines we do use in this country. The CDC had to issue yet another load of manure from sacred Indian cows, otherwise known as holy cows. There is a reason why we just don't have the sort of studies necessary to form any accurate data, and it might just be more insane than you may think. It seems that here in the United States, according to a report from actual scientists, the coronavirus, yep, the good old COVID-19, is disappearing too fast for the vaccine studies to produce meaningful results. I told you it would seem insane, but that's just the tip of the manufactured pandemic panic iceberg. Allow me to take you back to the last week in March when Dr. Noselittle announced on CNN that there was a variant of the dreaded COVID out there that evades the test. Diane, he told us that there was a sickness out there gunning for us that would not show up on a test and that you may never show symptoms of. And then to prevent it from spreading, we all had to wear a mask.
Well, let me ask you this. Since there is no test for this variant, how come we're getting all these numbers in that all these thousands and thousands of people have that variant? How can they have it if there's no test for it?
It's a damn good question. It really is. And given that the variant won't show up on a test and almost nobody would get sick from it, you know, how do we know it even exists, the variant? Mm-hmm. I mean, we not only do we not know if people actually have it, hell, we don't even know if it really actually exists. But that, of course, was a scant couple of weeks before blathering Biden told us that if we got the shots, we wouldn't need the masks. That, of course, was followed a couple of weeks later by blathering Joe telling us that we could all get rid of the masks if we'd been jabbed, which, as we all know now, was a load of crap. Now we're being told to mask up again, even though those masks caused more respiratory illnesses than they prevented, even if you've been vaccinated. Because, and you're going to love this, because for the first time known to man, you can now transmit a disease that you don't have to somebody who's been vaccinated against it. I'm not making this stuff up. At the risk of repeating myself, but at the greater risk of prompting yet another clarification from Fauci, who is just about as useful as tits on a bull, remember that the tests we have for COVID are ineffective at detecting this Delta variant, and that most people who contract the variant won't have any symptoms of it. So, as Diane so rightfully asked, how is it that we can prevent them from spreading it by wearing a mask that stands a good chance of producing other illnesses? Just over a week ago, Fauci did issue a clarification when he said, and I quote, "The fact is, if you get infected, even if you are without symptoms, you very well may infect another person who may be vulnerable, so in essence, you are encroaching on their individual rights," unquote. Go ahead.
Here for a second.
Go ahead, because that seems insane to me. So go ahead.
Okay. It is insane. Here it is. They're talking about you might get infected even if you don't know you have symptoms and you're still going to infect another person. Hello, Dr. Fauci. I hate to tell you this, but that's how any disease is spread. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor.
I know, but
that's how diseases are spread. You spread them even before your symptoms appear.
It just happens.
Yes.
You know? Now, I don't know. Look, maybe I'm being a little too cynical about this, and very far be it for me to be cynical, but I don't know. If I have the variant and the variant can't be detected by the tests, and given that the person to whom I may potentially pass it along to won't know they have it, exactly whose individual rights have been violated? Okay. I mean, let me put this in a slightly different way. Okay. I have spent my entire life not experimenting with drugs because doing such is dangerous. That's what we've all been told, even though some folks out there ignore that bit of common sense and at great harm to themselves and sometimes to others, they do experiment with drugs. But now, Despite what we know regarding the harmful effects of experimenting with drugs, we're all being told to stick needles into our arms that are filled with an experimental drug. Mm-hmm. There are now growing talks about mandating those experimental drugs. Who exactly is in charge of that little slice of tyranny? The CDC. A bunch of unelected bureaucratic baboons who've been making crap up out of thin air for the past year and a half, who have gotten so lost in their own lies that they're now repeating themselves and hoping nobody notices. The problem is, they can't mandate that Americans who don't want to get the jab, because that's unconstitutional. So, they're getting corporations and businesses to mandate it for them. Get the jab or lose your job, and glory be, a lot of those corporations and businesses have for years given drug tests to employees and potential employees to make sure that the people they hire aren't experimenting with experimental drugs. No matter, the CDC is now telling us that vaccinated people could get sick from the virus they've been vaccinated against because I didn't get the vaccine? Well, guess what, Diane? I have a pretty strong feeling that any such jab mandate would be a direct violation of my individual right to determine what goes into my bloodstream, so stick that in your Hunter Biden experimental drug pipe and smoke it till you're blowing paint out of a soda straw.
Yeah, I mean, basically what this is the government is overstepping its bounds. No one can force you to put something into your body you don't willingly take. Okay? All you have to do is say, sorry, I'm not doing it. If you're so afraid of the government that they tell you, okay, it's a mandate, you have to go and get jabbed. Are you a lamb to a slaughter? You're just going to walk in and do it? I don't care what mandate Biden puts out there. No one's sticking that needle into my arm.
You know, I would love to agree with you 100% on that, but I can tell you that there is an entity out there that can tell you what you can stick into your body or what you have to stick into your body, and you can't just say no, and I know this for a fact because I've been a victim of it. When I was a kid, my mother told me I had to eat my vegetables.
Ah, you got to listen to the mommies.
Yes, but I'm all grown up now, and I no longer do that. Look, according to the CDC, over the past 10 years, there have been, on average, between 9 million and 45 million cases of the flu, between 140,000 and 810,000 hospitalizations due to the flu, and between 12,000 and 61,000 deaths annually due to the flu. That was until 2020. You see, in 2020, the CDC reported only 700 deaths from influenza during the 2020-2021 season. And you can compare that to 22,000 U.S. deaths due to the flu the season before and 34,000 two seasons ago. As long as we're dealing with the numbers here, you have a better than 99% chance of surviving COVID-19. So is it any wonder that I no longer trust the CDC? Seriously, almost nobody got the flu shot last year, and as a result, almost nobody died of the flu last year, at least according to the CDC, which now closely resembles a spastic monkey trying to hump a football. I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be one, like Fauci does, but I do have a plan. If we really want to know just how much the football-humping monkeys over at the CDC care about stopping COVID, and at the same time, if we really want to see just how keen the Obama puppet show, otherwise known as the Biden administration, is on doing whatever the CDC tells them to do, up to and including mandates, how about having the CDC mandate closing our southern border and deporting all the million or so illegal aliens who've come across that border in the last year like a giant COVID tsunami? If all this COVID crap is real, and if the Biden bunch really wants to follow the CDC guidelines, They'll slam that border shut and start catapulting illegal aliens back over the wall at warp speed. But if it's all just a bunch of manufactured pandemic panic like I'm pretty sure it is, status quo. Nothing changes. And as far as the CDC and Biden are concerned, it's time to catch the crazy train to COVIDville. I swear sometimes my level of genius is so large it creates its own gravitational field.
That's funny. But you know, there's something very interesting. You brought up the flu numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this year, you know, we've had X number of people, COVID deaths. How many of those people might have had COVID, but they also had the flu and died of the flu?
None of them. Absolutely. Remember, none, according to the CDC.
No. What I'm getting at is the COVID numbers, no matter how you presented to a hospital, if you had COVID and you died, you became a COVID casualty. Not everyone who caught COVID died of COVID.
What?
You might have died with COVID.
What?
But not of COVID. And that's a big distinction.
So you're telling me the guy that died at his autopsy, results showed that he was positive for COVID, but he died after being run over by a bus on the interstate. You're telling me that guy actually died of COVID?
Yeah, they would mark anyone who tested positive for COVID and died, their death was marked as COVID.
That explains a lot.
Even if they didn't die of COVID. You have people that had heart disease, severe diabetics, cancer, all sorts of really nasty killer things. That's what they died of.
Internationally.
They had COVID as well. They didn't die of COVID. They shouldn't be listed as COVID numbers. They died of their underlying condition, and they just happened to have also had COVID. How many thousands of people were there like that?
Well, internationally, that answers a lot of questions, Diane, because do you realize how many people died of COVID in India that were on a bus packed with 300 people that went over a cliff every Wednesday at 3 o'clock?
I mean, yeah.
You know.
Or drank the water, or even just drank the water. I mean, you've got to understand, folks, just because you test positive for COVID doesn't mean there's not other little nasties besides COVID in you. If you're a heart patient and you got COVID and unfortunately passed away, you might have not died because of COVID. You might have died because you had heart disease. They lumped any and everyone into one group. That's why we didn't see the flu this year. The flu was out there. People died of the flu.
I'm telling you,
Diane.
They
might have had COVID as well, so let's put their death numbers into the COVID category.
I'm telling you.
They are inflating this to make it worse.
Diane?
To instill fear. When you get the fear in the population, you get to control the population.
Diane, I am telling you right now, you are overly cynical. Clearly, the guy that jumped out of the airplane without his parachute died of COVID. Clearly.
Absolutely.
I mean,
COVID, you know, like we said, COVID is serious for people who catch it. But not every death is COVID. To say that we had a no flu season basically this year, that's a lie.
Well, think about that. I mean, you know, year after year after year, the number of deaths from influenza in this country is in the tens of thousands.
Right.
Okay. Two flu seasons ago, it was 34,000.
Deaths.
The flu season before that, it was 22,000. This last flu season, 700.
Yeah.
What?
Come on, folks.
What? I mean, I include
those
numbers.
Probably the only 700 that didn't have test positive for COVID.
You know, I include those numbers because I think people will figure it out. If they see those numbers, they're going to stop and they go, what? How can that possibly be? Well, of course, how can it possibly be? You know, That's why it's exactly. The crazy train to COVIDville, and you can find this commentary either at thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Grab the link, share it like COVID. I mean, you know, that's what we got to do with these commentaries and op-eds. We got to get them out there so people understand the truth behind some of this nonsense that's been going on out there. And this COVID thing just continues to pile on the nonsense. Yes, people are getting sick from COVID. Yes, we understand that. It's terrible. If you come down with COVID, it's not a happy time. We get it.
No.
Okay? And some people don't make it. But like Diane says, a lot of those people, probably the majority of those people, there's some other underlying medical issue. Maybe even an issue they never knew they had.
Exactly. Okay?
But exactly. Nonetheless, we can either let the government dictate our every move, tell us when we can and can't go out of the house, what we have to wear if we go out of the house, what we have to wear over our faces when we're in our own homes, when we can go to work, where we can send our kids to school, if we can send our kids to school. Let me ask you this about the mask mandates they're trying now to force on kids in schools.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you got kids? Because I know there are kids in schools that have asthma.
Right.
What happens if you're forcing a kid to sit in a classroom all day long, day after day, wearing a mask, a kid that has asthma?
It's very dangerous. You know, what people forget is these masks, they're breeders of E. coli. People forget that our bodies are designed to expel carbon dioxide and breathe in oxygen. Well, if you're wearing a mask, you're not expelling that carbon dioxide. You're rebreathing it into your lungs. Think what that does to children and adults with asthma.
Well, and let me bring up something else. And I guarantee you, not very many people are thinking about this. Okay? But let's say you've got a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 13 years old, 14, 15, 16, whatever. This person's in middle school or early in high school, and they've got a face full of acne.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, luckily, I never dealt with that personally when I was a kid.
Neither did I. Never had it.
I may yet if I ever go through puberty, but that's a whole different show. But I did know people that had acne, and they used, and I know products have changed, you know, since I was in school, but, you know, you put certain products on your face to try and control that.
Right.
Okay. Now you're wearing a mask over your face, so whatever fumes there are from that, you're breathing those directly. Plus, you've got a mask building up moisture and carbon monoxide glued to your face. That can't be helpful when it comes to the acne problem either.
No. No, it's not helpful to anything, because what people also don't understand, and I've said this many, many times, masks, the threads are a certain width, if you will, there are spaces between them, whatever. 100 million COVIDs fit on a head of a pin. Hold some of those masks underwater, the water will go through them. Well, if the water goes through them, the COVIDs can get in them. Unless they're glued to your face, the COVIDs could get in through the sides, the tops, the bottoms, whatever. Masks are good. Let's say if you're infected and you're sneezing, it'll slow some of the particle distribution to some degree. There are many scientists now coming out and saying these masks really are not stopping anything. Again, we need herd immunity. That's what kicked in the Spanish flu, the real killer in the early 20th century.
Right.
Eventually, these viruses just naturally burn themselves out. A mask is not going to is not going to make COVID go away. Social distancing isn't going to make COVID go away.
Right. And now they're actually saying, I actually heard this when I was taking one for the team and watching CNN today.
Okay. Oh, well, then you know it can't be true.
Well, exactly. But they're still putting it out there. All right. Mm-hmm. And this is the problem. The mainstream media is lying. They're lying. Okay, but like Diane said in her op-ed tonight, they want to scare the bejesus out of you.
Okay? Yeah.
So what they're actually telling
you, keep them under control.
What they're actually telling people right now is that if you send your kid to school without a mask, your child is going to infect people and kill them.
Yeah. Isn't that a nice thing to lay on a child? You don't wear a mask, you're going to kill your classmates. What the hell is wrong with these people?
I mean, this is how bad it's gotten. I'm not making this up.
No, you know, you're
this
not.
This is where it's going in this country. You must be scared. You must be a victim. Or you're despicable.
Yeah.
You're the lowest form of life on earth. If you don't pretend to be a victim of something, you're not a victim of.
Yeah, and then you're going to become a different type of victim if you don't get the jab and you expect to keep your job. This is all about control of the masses, folks. That's what this is about. COVID has many treatments. In fact, I know people right now, friends of mine, who unfortunately got COVID. They're taking ivermectin. Within 2 days, they feel fine. We have treatments out there for COVID. I don't believe these new death numbers that are coming out because they're not true. They make up numbers to fit their agenda. That's what Democrats do. Yep. They make things up to fit their agenda.
That's it. That's it exactly. Mm-hmm. Folks, a couple of great pieces for you to go read and share if you haven't done it already. Crazy Train to COVIDville, that's mine. You can get it at thenationalpatriot.com. Diane's op-ed today is Manipulating Normal. So you get that at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Or, to make it really simple, you can get both of them if you go to rspradio1.com. Grab those links.
Right on the homepage.
Yeah, share them everywhere. So, I almost hate to ask, but Diane, what are you working on for Tuesday? Next week.
For next Tuesday?
Yeah.
I have no idea because I had a real great article on Cuomo that had to get trashed when he resigned today.
He kind of blew up your piece.
I think I'm going to take on, in case people don't know, that ridiculous infrastructure bill passed the Senate today, and 17 Republicans sold out.
Yeah, that's hideous.
And you know who's going to be paying for this? We the people. Taxpayers. It's going to affect our taxes. We're screwed, folks.
We're screwed. Our kids are screwed. Our grandkids are screwed. Their grandkids are going to be screwed.
Yeah.
You know? And it's really just the tip of the iceberg. Next Tuesday, I'm talking about cops in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, little housekeeping, folks. We're not going to be on the air this Friday.
No.
Okay, we got to take this Friday off. I'm in the middle of festival and fair season. Okay, and because of what I do for terrestrial radio, I get to go to these fairs and do some broadcasting. This Thursday night, I'm going to be in the Cherry County Fair's parade. Okay, our group Preserve the Sandhills, which is trying to stop industrial wind turbines in the Nebraska Sandhills, we have a float in that parade. And I'm going to be riding on the float and looking at Joe Biden the entire time.
Looking at Joe Biden. Oh, somebody has a Joe Biden balloon?
No. Our float is a horse-drawn cart, so I'll be looking at a horse's ass all night.
Ah, Perfect analogy.
Yeah. Friday.
Notice, folks, none of us call him president. We just call him Biden.
Friday, I'm going to be in Martin, South Dakota. They're having their fair. I'm going to be up there all day, broadcasting live for the Twister Radio here in North Central Nebraska. Saturday, I'm going to spend all day at the Cherry County, Nebraska Fair broadcasting. So it's a busy end of the week for me.
Yes, so we're going to take the day off on Friday.
Yeah, yeah, and then we'll be back a week from tonight. We'll have a couple more segments for you. We'll have news of the day, some quick hitters, unless somebody else resigns.
I know. My article was so good, and it's now in the internet garbage.
It's in the trash heap of the internet.
Yes.
Well, folks, I'll tell you what. We've come to the end of the show tonight. What do you say, Diane, we just wrap this one up?
I say it sounds good. Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next Tuesday with Right Side Patriots.